Welcome back to the 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. My name is Wayne Kimmel, managing partner of 76 Capital, the sports venture capital company. On this show, I interview top sports entrepreneurs, athletes, and executives who are shaping and many times changing the overall sports industry. Today, we're going to talk sports media with Jared Kleinstein, the CEO of Fresh Tate Media. Jared, welcome to the 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show.
Thank you for having me, Wayne. It's a great honor to be on the show.
Well, excited to have you. Excited to have you on the show. There's so many things that I'm excited to talk about, all the things that you've done in your career so far. And I know there's a lot more that you want to do. But let's just start off here and, you know, share with us, what is Fresh Tate Media?
For sure. So Fresh Tape is a creative production company, started in 2017. Essentially, my previous background, I ran sports partnerships at Vine. So I had built up a lot of relationships in the sports creative community and the social media space. So started Fresh Tape to really be some hybrid of a production company and a creative agency. So half of our clients think of us as their agency, where they'll rely on us on for concepts, creative strategy, across the whole gamut in the creative space. Some clients treat us more like a production company. They say, hey, we need people to shoot this event next week. Are you going to be there? We sort of fill all those voids. Every day is completely different from the day before. This week, we were at WNBA draft for the WNBA, and we're going to Coachella the rest of the week. So every day is completely different, and it's a blast.
It sounds exciting. I mean, so with Fresh Tape, you know, you talk about, you know, this past week being at the WNBA draft. What, or the W is, as I guess I should say, right? Appropriately, you know, so what did you do there? Like, what are some of the things that you were hired to do while you were there?
For sure. For that one, we actually had three different activations where we built a custom Papa Shot set for attendees and guests to enjoy and sort of compete against each other. We built one set where we actually designed custom rotary phones where the draftees could pick up a rotary phone and actually hear a message from either a family member or a icon in sports. We had Tom Brady call in, so they could actually like pick up. It wasn't a working rotary phone. You couldn't actually turn it, but it actually did take that information in for the players to hear. And then we had another custom set for the players to take photos in front of that they could publish on their own channels and on the WNBA channels. So it's a lot of fun.
That's really cool. I mean, look, a rotary phone, that goes back even further than the fax machine. And I thought that was old school, right? So that's pretty cool.
Especially for this generation of people who, like, supposedly kids nowadays, if you ask them to like put a phone up with their hand, they go like this, versus like my generation and past generations did this. So this was a nice callback to our youth. My grandparents had one I grew up with.
Well, you know, you talked about in your introduction a little bit, you mentioned Vine and your experience there. Tell us a little bit about Vine. And I see, once in a while, you know, your buddy Brendan Kaminsky, he'll say something about Vine. It's like it's his long lost friend. Hey, you know, tell us your experiences there.
Yeah, so I've been working in New York in a very different field. I worked in real estate tech for a company called Street Easy. If you live in New York, you've heard of it. If you don't, you probably haven't. But I was there for a while and then got a job in strategic partnerships at Vine. And when they asked what I wanted to do, I said I wanted to focus on sports. And it was kind of a shot in the dark. And they said, oh, perfect. You're in charge of sports. So I got the job as head of sports because nobody else wanted to do it. If they had posted a job as for head of sports, I never would have got the gig in my lifetime. They would have hired somebody from ESPN, somebody way more qualified. But I spent 2.5 years from 2014 till the end of 2016 when they shut down the platform, running all of our sports partnerships globally. So, you know, where the Twitter sports team that I was a part of had, you know, a North America team, an EMEA team, a whole team spread around the world doing sports partnerships, I was the only Vine guy. So it was my responsibility to get sports leagues, teams, broadcasters to use the platform. And it was a lot of fun. It was, especially in an age where at the time, people weren't just publishing highlights, and it wasn't even for most of the leagues, they weren't going to do that at all. It was a lot more about creative strategy and coming up with unique ways to reach a younger audience. So it was a blast, and being a part of the Twitter Sports family was you know, something that like set me up for where I am today, and I've sort of built long lasting friendships from it.
Well, what was it like? I mean, being there, you know, at the early stages of Twitter and working at Vine. I mean, what was that environment like?
It was just fun. I mean, our job was fun. No, people didn't think of Vine as like a dark and scary news information place or anything. They just associated it with joy, right? So that was, for our team, we were on the 12th floor of the Twitter New York office, and we had, it was just our team up there, and we had a great time. People would come in all the time. We had like Shawn Mendes would come in, or Fifth Harmony would perform for us, and all these people that got their start on Vine. I remember our party, our like Vine year two party, where like Logan Paul was there and Jerome Jarre, all the like huge Viners that became massive stars. We threw a party for King Batch and David Dobrik, and all of them were there. And this is before they were the names that they are today. So it was just, it felt like we were a part of something. And it was definitely like a moment in history that was like, you know, it was short and it led to everything that we see today in terms of just TikTok and the short form content market.
So I have to ask you, so did someone capture those moments, not just as the Vines that they were doing, but did someone sort of capture what those parties were like, or what those, you know, from even from a, you know, it's sort of like not just the direct stuff that you would put out there. Did anyone kind of get the B-roll basically of some of that stuff?
I mean, when you work in social, you need the most storage on your phone possible, not just for work reasons, but it's just like ingrained in you to constantly be capturing. So all of us were like that. I mean, I have, according to my phone, I think I have 30,347 pictures. I don't even want to know how many videos are within that, probably 9,000. And I literally last night went on a nostalgia path with some old coworkers, sending videos to each other, just of like all the people that were there together and all of us just dancing together, things that we didn't publish. And we were just getting falling down that nostalgia rabbit hole. That was wonderful.
Sounds like there's a documentary or docuseries or something there, you know?
Definitely. And considering I run a production company, I probably should be involved in it, but I have like clients and stuff that I would probably prefer I help them out with their work right now.
Well, on the, you know, the Fresh Tape side, you know, you work with, you mentioned earlier the WNBA, some of the other clients that you work with, but are there ever things that you do on the Fresh Tape Media side that are things that are your own projects or things that you think that you just want to do because you think it's the right thing because of all your experience within the world of, you know, social media and sports?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, it's a great point. Most production companies, they have this evolution in our space from, you know, working with clients and doing like commercial work towards doing original content. That's the path we're sort of following as well. A lot of it is also around, so I guess the ways that we try to innovate are a combination of IP and unique tech and original content production. So on the original content production side, we have, we shot a documentary pilot about adaptive mountain bikers last year. We went out to Utah and brought four former athletes that are paralyzed, and we took them on a bikepacking adventure to see if they could, you know, push the boundaries of their abilities. And it was an extraordinary experience, and we're working through the post-production on that to get it developed and sold. We also are working on two other originals that I can't really talk about yet, but hopefully I will be able to soon. And then on the IP side, you know, we're constantly developing different cool technology, both on the software side, like we built an internal tool that we thought would just be for us that we spun off into its own company called Gondola. And we've also done, you know, different projects like for the NFL, for the Pro Bowl this year, we built a arcade game called the Spikometer. where players could come and spike a ball and see sort of like their score, similar to how you'd go to a carnival back in the day and sort of hit a hammer.
This is Patrick Mahomes,
Frank Clark,
Scott Piss here at Atlanta Falcons, about to do this spike a meter.
Yes, no way I won. No way I won. Tyree, go and get in there.
Players could see like a digitized, like arcade version of their how strong they can spike. So it's a lot of fun.
It sounds that way. And you mentioned Gondola. We definitely want to get into that and hear what you're building there.
For sure. So this is 3 years ago, or maybe a bit more, in 2018. We were trying to put together a report for a project. I think it was like NBA All-Star that we had done. And I came from a background where when I started at Vine, the thing that everybody wanted to know, every client said, we want analytics. We want the numbers. Right? We want to know how our stuff is performing. So I came from that background and that thought process. And I was like, how are we going to do a project if we can't tell our clients how it performed? And they all have their own analytics, right? They have a billion different social analytics platforms to track their own content. But we didn't have a way to track these individual posts that we were making. Because if we worked for an All-Star game, you know, some of our stuff will go on the NBA. Some will go on NBA Kicks, Bleacher Report, all over the place, the players' accounts. And we didn't have a way to track it. So we built an internal tool. Just so we could see our own stuff in the future. And then we said, oh, let's add who on our team made the content so that we can at least, you know, look back and say, who worked on World Series that year? Oh, that was Maddie. And, you know, we can look back on it fondly. And then after using it on our own for a year without telling anybody, we realized, wait a second, if you can paste a link from social and see who created the content, then we've accidentally created the first system for credits on social media, aka like IMDb for social. And we should probably let other people use this. And we did our research. There was no other system for this kind of work. So we decided to spin it off. Instead of calling it Fresh Tape Admin, we decided to call it Gondola. The idea being that, you know, we're in Colorado, so we wanted some sort of tribute to the skiing and mountain world, but also that like you can take a gondola on your own, but it's more fun with a group. And we want to be more of a part of like the credit and collaborative creative space. So and now today we launched it publicly in February. We have a few thousand creators already, and it's a lot of fun. And we're hoping that the impact is more than just people having like a place to track their content, but it becomes truly like a space for anybody on the internet to find out who created the work they love.
It's really interesting, and I definitely want to get into that a little more. I mean, so you think about, you know, and I love the, you know, kind of the I was really wanted to ask you, and I'm happy you shared with us, you know, the, you know, where you came up with the name Gondola. You know, I figured it had to do something with skiing and it had to do something with, yeah, you know, taking it up the mountain. Even though I'm not a big skier, my partner John here at 76 Capital is a huge skier. My other partner Chad, but I actually just take the gondola up and meet them up at the top to have lunch. That's my thing, right? It's like your party idea. I like that.
Well, that's actually a perfect metaphor for it. So the people on the gondola, I'm so sorry I stole your thunder with being able to ask the question. I messed up big time. But the people on the gondola aren't always the skiers, right? To your point, like you can go up a gondola. It doesn't matter if you're riding or not. And on social content, there's the, like, if you look at a picture that the Denver Nuggets publish, right? Garrett Elwood may have taken the picture. He is one of the most talented NBA photographers, right? He's always courtside at Nuggets games. He takes a photo. There's also the social manager who's posting the copy and doing the copywriting on it, right? There's the you know, file manager, somebody who got the content from him. There's maybe software behind it. There's a lot of pieces, not just one star behind each piece of content. So Gondola, you know, our intent is to let everybody take credit for their roles and things. Like you watch a movie, the credits are, you know, minutes long. Social content now, people are investing as much money in a YouTube video or in an Instagram video as they do in a short film. So, you know, we're happy to be a part of that.
You know, that's a really interesting point. Maybe we should kind of break that down a little bit for our audience. I mean, I think that the average consumer or the average person in the sports business industry thinks about people just, you know, shooting content with their phone and throwing, you know, they're typing it in and using their thumbs as quickly as they can to get that content up. And next thing you know, it's on ESPN or it's on, you know, one of your clients or wherever it is, right? How does this really work? you know, how does it really happen with some of the big, you know, sports media influencers or the big media companies? How does this whole social media business work?
It's truly extraordinary how many pieces there are to the puzzle, especially relative to the, you know, impression that a lot of people in the general community may have about social content, right? The most hated comment on Twitter in the sports social world is when somebody says, "Hey, social intern, you should fix that," or "the social media intern is going to get fired for that," when there are, you know, 40-person teams, 50-person teams, and more dedicated to social content for each of these leagues. And then at the leagues, they have relationships with the teams, and they have relationships with the broadcasters and with the media companies directly. So on any project, you know, the people will interface with. I can give like I'll pick an event that's got a lot of different parts in it. NBA All-Star, which is something we've done something for every year since 2017, since we started. It was our second project ever at Fresh Tape. And I've done 3 All-Stars before that at Vine. So we've been working with this team for a long time, but it's not just the social team, right? There's
it's not just one person, like the social guy or the social
woman. No, there's a whole, like there's the digital content team. There's the Twitter and Instagram and all the platforms that have people that are doing stuff that they're facilitating content directly for their platforms. So like for All-Star this year, we did something for Backstage for all the players. We did an HBCU project for Twitter. There's all these crazy relationships where Twitter has people that are focused on it. The league has people focused on it. Meanwhile, there's the broadcasters involved. They have their own social teams. And the best part of it all is at the end of the night, it's one community. And there was a hotel bar that I don't want to say what time it was on Saturday night, that every different niche was there. There was the tech platforms. So there's, you know, a few different tech platforms that like the NBA uses for a combination of analytics, distribution and whatnot. They were there. People from Turner and the broadcast team were there. People from the league were there. People from the social platforms were there. And everybody sort of comes together because the reach on this content on social is truly extraordinary. And it has, you know, started to dwarf any of the combined TV analytics. And it's really, it's being invested in a way that it is justified. So.
And being part of that community and knowing all the different pieces and others, you know, what is that like being in the middle of all this?
I mean, it's complicated when you tell your family that you have to leave your, you know, 10-month-old daughter to go to All-Star for work. And then you know that the reason you're going is a combination of you have responsibilities for your clients, but you're so excited to see the people that you know that you sometimes only see once a year, right? Or a few times a year. There's one of my favorite people in that world is a guy named Joe Amati, who has always coordinated who's going from room to room backstage. He is like one of the most like respected people in the underground of the NBA All-Star environment, right? He's the one who, like, when LeBron's coming through, he's telling him where to go. He's directing people through. And I only see Joe at Draft, All-Star, and a couple other things. And it makes me so happy. And I get to see people from the Twitter team, and I get to see all these people. So like, it's a joy. And it becomes, especially once you've been doing it long enough, that it's not just about, it's definitely not about just about the work, right? It's truly a pleasure. And when people say like, you need to network for work, you should schmooze, it really doesn't feel like work. It feels like an ideal way to spend a weekend in Cleveland in February. I think that's the one thing that we are always willing to look over wherever we have to be in the world, because we're excited to be there. And there's no shade on Cleveland. We had a blast.
Well, look, we have a lot of young, aspiring sports business individuals that listen and watch our show. And they would do anything to be part of this world, you know, whether it's working for a team on the social media side, whether, as you said, the league, one of the technology platforms. How do you get in the middle of all this? How do you get to know people like you and Joe and, you know, these and a Brendan Kaminsky? Gosh, his name comes up twice. I mean, he thinks he's a star or something to being on this show. But like, how do you meet these individuals? How do you kind of get in that into that world?
So I think a lot of it is a combination of putting yourself in the right environments and not really worrying about it or rushing it, and just knowing that if you're in the right places often enough, it'll come to you. So that actually, that question was presented to me by a young social media manager at All-Star. We were in the hotel, like the media lounge, where they had like some free beers and drinks and foods for people in the media. So a young social media manager said to me, how do I like get to meet people? How do I get to know people from this? And at first I was trying to think, like, my answer was just, you're already here. You're putting yourself in the situation, right? And when you go to All-Star, there's people from like the individual content creators from the teams are there. There's a ton, agencies are there. Even if you're only working on NBA crossover for an agency, so you never even walk in the door of the stadium, you're still around the right people. So I said this to him, and then I was walking out to go meet people in that other, the bar that I was mentioning before. And on my way, I stop by the hotel bar and I see the social team from the Bulls and the Hawks and a few other people. And I called the guy upstairs and I said, you got to come down here. Like, if you want to know the answer to your question, it's at this bar. It's not at the stadium. It's at this bar. And it was one of those, like, the smiles were as wide as can be. And it was just people that all had stories to share. And if you say, like, how do you get in there in the first place? I mean, there's no right way. You don't have to go the team route. You don't have to go the agency route. You can find the route of the group of people you're excited to work with and the skill sets you're excited to develop. That's pretty much it.
Well, it sounds like you really enjoy what you do. So is this something that your whole life, you said, I'm going to be in the sports business. I want to be in something that I love. Or how did this all happen for you?
I mean, it's all, I would say, you know, in How I Built This, Guy Raz will always say, you know, was it luck or was it hard work? And I think it's a real combination and heavily on the luck side, because I think of two stories when I think of that question. One is when I graduated college, my mom said to me in a moment of extreme insight, she said, the best company to work for 5 years from now probably doesn't even exist today. So don't stress about going straight into something that like you dream of, because the best thing may not even exist yet. And I don't know if she was trying to be like the Confucius of my future or whatnot, but it really resonated with me. And she was right. I mean, at the time, TikTok, Snapchat, Vine, nothing existed, right? In that social media space. And at the same time, I went to business school. I have a marketing, a double major in marketing and entrepreneurship, and a business major and a film minor. So technically I'm doing exactly what I was supposed to do. I started a company in film and creative production. I'm doing exactly what I was intended to do, but I didn't see this. It wasn't planned. I had no goal for myself. All I knew is that growing up, I loved Denver sports. It was something that my dad and I shared. He would, take me to games and whatnot. And then I'll never forget, I was at a MLB game. It was a Yankees game that we took the Vine team to, and I brought the MLB social team there. And we're sitting in the stands and we're just talking baseball. We didn't talk work a second. Like, maybe somebody mentioned something about a video, but like, it was talking baseball. And I called my dad and I was like, Dad, guess what? Business school didn't teach me anything. You taught me everything. I am working in sports, and it's only because I can talk about like the 96 Rockies, and I can talk about Rocktober, and I can talk about the Avalanche, and I can talk about it all because you taught me all this. It got me into sports. And he's like, well, the business school education was good too, right? Like, you're happy you went to college though. And I was like, yeah, no, for sure. But I think that like my take on sort of like, did I dream of this? If I told my 13-year-old self that I'm making Jumbotron videos for the Avalanche and Nuggets, and I am, working with my heroes, I think he would be like, nah, you're kidding. That ain't real. But truth be told, it's not always just been about that dream. It's been about working with great people and doing cool stuff together. I worked for 7 years for Street Easy, and that group of humans are still some of my best friends in the world. And you know, I'm not even in real estate tech anymore. And two of the gondola engineers are from Street Easy. And I talk on Slack channels with our team every day. It's just, you know, I think that's more about my focus, is being with great people.
Well, it sounds amazing. And again, it just sounds like you're really happy and you get to do things that you enjoy every day. And that's something that there's it's just what I, you know, it's one of the things we tell people all the time. It's one of the reasons why, you know, a lot of the companies we invest in, we want to make sure that the entrepreneurs that are behind the businesses that we get behind are truly passionate about it and truly interested in, and they love what they're doing, because we certainly love what we do at 76 Capital. We always want, you know, the entrepreneurs that we get behind it to do that as well. You know, it's really interesting, you know, looking back into a little bit of your background, I got to ask you about T-Bowing. You know, how did that come about?
I mean, I'm not going to say it's the same as Gondola, Fresh Tape, or anything else I've started, but in life, I think that I'm going to also blame my mom for this. My mom once would call me when I was at Street Easy, and I was like doing analytics and doing some, like, a lot of crazy biz dev stuff. And she's like, "What are you doing to be creative today?" And I'd be like, I don't know, I made a stupid YouTube video, or like I made a Call Me Maybe parody with Arrested Development, or I did made some stupid meme today. Like, I was just always like in the back of my head doing weird creative things, because my mom just was convinced that I should be doing something more creative than what I was doing at the time. And I have, it taught me to not be scared of having bad ideas, because if you throw 10 bad ideas at the wall, like, one may stick. And that was just an example of me realizing that technology has enabled anybody to act on their terrible ideas. Think of it like 1800s, if you had a terrible idea for like a t-shirt store, you had to get the t-shirts, you had to get the storefront space, you had to get the business plan, you had to do all that stuff. I've never written a business plan outside of school. I've built 3 companies and I haven't written a single business plan. And I think that's because technology has enabled people like me to see a Broncos game, take a picture with my friends. And it was like friends, a group of friends, some I went to high school with. I went to Denver Jewish Day School, now Rocky Mountain Hebrew Academy at the time. We took a picture and posted on Facebook with the caption "NYC Jews for Tebow." And 9 likes later, I thought, this is it. This is viral. So I bought tbowing.com for $10, found out that nobody on the internet had used the word tbowing outside of a typo, and then told my friends, we should do this. This will be the next planking. And by that Wednesday, that was Sunday night. By Wednesday, I was on CNN, CNBC, Wall Street Journal, all of them. It's the craziest time of my life, for sure.
And, you know, so how did it sort of, you know, you talk about how it started, but as it continued, did it just like, it was out of your control at that point? I mean, what was that like when people just started doing all, you know, using the hashtag and just putting it all over the place?
Well, this is also like nowadays a meme happens on a platform more often than not, right? Like if you think of a challenge or a meme, they're hosted on the social platforms, right? But at this time, it was in 2011, it was more valuable to have the Tumblr page and the URL that people would go to. So we had a ton of traffic rather than, like, people weren't really going to our Twitter handle or IG or anything like that. So it was about driving people to that. So me and 4 of my closest friends spent like 2 weeks sitting in an apartment, like doing everything from setting up the LLCs to doing t-shirt designs and doing website design. And now if I look at the website, I'm like, oh my God, that is very 2011. And we haven't even updated it, because like, I want it to be a relic. It's not supposed to be a modern site for T-Bowing. I still own the URL. It's supposed to be, you know, a relic of a past time. So I'm, you know, I get to look back fondly on it and just sort of shake my head and smile.
Well, I just love the fact that you've talked about your mom and your dad and how influential they've been on your career. I mean, the fact that your mom has told you to be more creative, I mean, that is just incredible. The fact that she mentioned to you that, you know, the company that, you know, companies that you'll work with or work for, they're not even created yet. I mean, that's just, you're really, truly lucky to have had amazing parents who think like that, who could really help you move forward. But I have to ask you this question, because it's one of the questions we ask most of our, you know, guests on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show is, were there mentors that you had? I mean, it sounds like it was your mom and dad. Were there other people that you aspire to be or look like that is as well?
I know that I look a lot like the founder of Chobani. But despite that, he's a definitely a hero professionally, but we've never, other than meeting randomly on the street in Soho, we've never really hung out much. But mentorship wise, I felt really lucky because across over the years, I've made a combination of friends and mentors that I really look to for guidance. My first boss at Street Easy, both of my direct boss, Derek, who's still a good friend, and Michael Smith, our founder, people that I really admired. Like I've worked with so many years of there, and then going to Zillow and seeing how big companies and how Spencer Raskoff ran that shop was really amazing. And then going to Twitter, my boss, Andre Sala, who's now Facebook, was a great mentor and really helped me be my best self. And then sort of my colleagues on the Twitter sports team, TJ Adeshola, who's head of global content now, Andrew Barge, some of these people were not only like friends and people that I got to work with every day, but they, helped empower me and helped me, be the best colleague and best creative I could be. And now they're a part of the reason that I have a company is like them pushing me like, yeah, you should do it. And I started a creative production company without being a good creator. I'm a really bad editor and videographer. You don't want to hire me for any of that stuff. I butchered my friend's engagement photos a few years ago and I'm never going to do it again. I had never worked at an agency. Like most people that start agencies know how to run an agency. I've been, trusting the people around me. And I think that's one thing I've really learned, mentorship wise is that if I thought I was the expert at anything, then our companies would look very different. But I know what I'm good at. And what I'm good at is bringing together great people empowering people that are really great at their craft. So the Fresh Tape team and Gondola team are full of people who are truly the best at what they do so that I can just be their advocate and, just sort of help them do their best work.
Well, look, I really appreciate you, coming on to our show and sharing all of this with us. I mean, this has been a great half hour, really amazing, all the things that you've done so far in your career. And, we can't wait to, sort of just stay in touch, learn, see what you're doing and what happens next at Fresh Tape Media, what happens next with Gondola. So how can people find you, Jared? What's the best way?
For sure. So I'm, Jarzod, J-A-R-Z-O-D, is my personal handle on all social channels. It's a nickname from when I was 5 that nobody knows the origin of. We just found a t-shirt that said it. So now that's what they call me. Nobody actually calls me that, just my parents used to. And then on social, our companies are Fresh Tape Media, at Fresh Tape Media on everything. And then Gondola is at On Gondola. So you can find things on Gondola. I think that it's going to be a lot of fun watching these companies grow. And I'm excited to sort of also like be connected with you. I mean, what you've been building is pretty extraordinary. And the other thing that I wanted to plug is we have a division of our company called the Art Department. My dad's name was Art. He passed away May 2020 and he was, my inspiration for everything. So we are doing our company actually, the week after he passed, they gave me a bottle of scotch with a sign that said Art Department, a sticker that said Art Department on it. And I was like, what's this? And they're like, it's our work in honor of your dad. So we started sort of a pro bono and volunteer arm of our company. So whenever we do nonprofit work, it's in my dad's name. So if anybody out there is looking for needs, has organizations that they think need help with content, we're always looking for places that we can help out sort of outside of just the, professional scope, but just really doing the right work.
Well, we certainly love that here at 76 Capital. It means a lot. And Jared, it's been amazing having you on our show. Jared Kleinstein, the CEO of Fresh Tape Media, our guest on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. Thank you so much for joining. And as you mentioned earlier, you can't do this without your team. Of course, Ty Jackson and Vince putting everything together for us here at 76 Capital and making this all happen. Thank you so much, Jared. Best of luck with everything. And as we say here at 76 Capital, you just got to go out there and just make it happen. Thanks again for joining the show.
Thanks for having me.